That's 4:06 here on the Hill. Going to be with you this afternoon. 85 degrees in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Beautiful day. Going to be clear tonight with lows around 67, and then partly cloudy tomorrow and Friday to wrap up the week with highs in the mid-80s. Chance of rain back in the forecast for Saturday afternoon and part of the day on Sunday. Should be nice between now and then. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, we got prime time of the ACC. Dave Nathan breaking down sports news for you, as always, on Wednesday evening. We've got a busy hour for you coming up this hour, too. At 4:30, we'll have Susan Brown here in the studio. You heard her last hour talking about the Red Ball Project. She'll be back here in the studio at 4:30 with another round of talking books. Coming up at around 4:15, we'll have the folks from The Pit here in the studio. New comedy theater in downtown Chapel Hill. Definitely not going to want to miss that either. All right, now we start the hour with Stroman on Sports, speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, a longtime sports commentator, star athlete in her own right, and the host of Cover 2 right here on WCHL as the football season kicks into high gear. Dr. Stroman, I think I hear you on the road. How are you doing right now?
Things are going well. Just headed down to Charlotte for a meeting. But I'll tell you, this breaking news about Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban, willing to donate $10 million. Some people see it as a cover-up. Some people say it's a nice gesture. But once again, we've got sexual assault, sexual harassment back in the news with sports.
And going back, in case people are just getting up to speed on this, Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, people within the organization got accused of sexual harassment and misconduct back earlier this year. NBA conducted an investigation, and just developing today, the results of that investigation has confirmed the allegations, and Mark Cuban, the owner, is responding by donating $10 million to domestic violence organizations and other organizations that promote women in sports and the sports industry. So what is your first take on this? This is a significant development, not just for the Dallas Mavericks and for the NBA, but this is an example. And unfortunately, we don't have enough examples like this, but we're starting to see more of people within the sports world actually being held accountable for what has been widespread acts of misconduct and harassment in the workplace, on the field, off the field, on the court, off the court. And this is a big development today.
Absolutely. And I think part of it is just a part of the technological advances with social media. If we think back 20, 30 years ago, whether or not Twitter or Instagram or being able to videotape things with our phones, what we would have found, what we would have uncovered. But the common theme is guys with bad behavior. And certainly most men are gentle, kind, and respectful of women. But you've got a bunch out there that continue to terrorize, threaten, and as what was quoted in the Dallas Mavericks organization, it was an animal house where men had built-in protections, but women, they were definitely disrespected. They were called various names. They were devalued. They were considered very, very vulnerable. And so some people would say that it was just a handful, but when Mark Cuban drops $10 million, I think it was more than just a handful of men. It was a culture. Definitely the former team president who left in 2015, he was considered a fast-track star, but he was well-known around the organization of being very, very disrespectful and ugly towards women, accusing them of being, very, very promiscuous, just making really, really ugly comments. So he's gone, and what, 2-3 years later, and still you have this culture that's there. So it's very, very disturbing. I'm glad to see that possibly the effects of the Me Too movement is helping to uncover some of these activities that are happening in spaces where you at least expect it.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and you've been following this more closely. What has happened within the Mavericks organization? I know a $10 million donation is significant, but there also need to be some kind of cultural changes at that workplace. Have any been put into effect?
Well, it's similar to the various isms. You know, we can start and end with racism, but when organizations get flagged or something, whether it's a lawsuit or just various complaints, the first thing is that the administration, the leadership, has to respond. And usually, after making a statement and telling everyone that this is not the environment or the culture that we support, then starts the training. And that's where things get a little hairy, because people start wondering, well, what type of training? How can training be effective when you're talking about a person who quite possibly is mentally challenged or should be in jail somewhere? So we start looking at the training that's being implemented. Certainly the what I call the flavor of the month right now is implicit bias training. That's been looked at for the Mavericks and being implemented. Also, of course, you have to get rid of people. So there have been a number of folks who've left. I know a report that I read earlier, Sports Illustrated did an in-depth study on it, but they identified at least six women who actually left the company, left the Dallas Mavericks, because of this mistreatment, believing that not just the Mavericks, but the entire sports sector is so damaged that they don't even want to work in the space anymore. So I'll say definitely the removal of people, and then also training.
So to what extent is this the Dallas Mavericks organization we're talking about, where, again, we've had this long investigation, it's confirmed just this long litany of allegations that go back years and involve so many people. To what extent is that organization an outlier within the sports industry, and to what extent is that just sort of emblematic of the culture of sexual harassment in the sports world in general? Can we expect to find similar things if we look into, just to pick teams at random, the Celtics or the Pistons or the Lakers?
I definitely would have to say that this is an outlier. Especially in terms of the egregiousness to this extent, where it's going all the way up into the front office senior leadership with the president of the organization. Again, I believe that most men who work in the sports space are kind, and they're doing the right things to try to promote and support women in a positive way. Now, another question might be in terms of the athletic competition. There is research out there. Especially when we're talking about football, when you have such a violent sport, can you absolutely turn that off without some type of training or intervention? That's a bigger question mark. But I do believe in the front office that most organizations do not operate with this type of behavior, and especially thinking that you could get away with it.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and we got to wrap up here in a second, but before we do, what is the most significant takeaway from this development today and the larger issue as people start to get held accountable for this behavior now?
Well, once again, it usually boils down to money, so we're looking at the economics. Certainly, this has been a story in the sports news, but when you talk about an owner, a business owner, dropping $10 million to take care of something or to save face or to protect the brand, that's major, and that's going to be all over the front pages of our best newspapers that are out there. And so I think, once again, sadly, it takes money to get attention, to create awareness, and to force change. But I would say the economic aspect of this is what is the story.
I'll have to leave it there. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, keep tuned to WCHL. Debbie hosts Cover 2, our football show right here on the Hill. Weekday nights, many weekday nights at 7 o'clock, and you can catch it